looking at this, I know when it goes up and fails.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bert, for our prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in this Lord's house this morning on this final Sunday in October. A special service this morning as we approach All Saints Day on November 1st, remembering the loved ones we have lost this past year, and also remembering the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us as we gather to observe the Lord's Supper. If you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card, and as you leave worship later on today, drop it in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit with us. For those that are joining us, watching us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online today. If you're a first-time watcher this morning, I encourage you to send me an email so I can follow up with you this week. I also encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our worship service today, but also use it as a resource for the ministries that we have going on in the life of our church today. For those that are gathered here this morning, a reminder that this afternoon at 5 p.m. we'll be starting a new adult Bible study titled Holy Roar. This is a four-week video study by Chris Tomlin and Darren Whitehead, who examine the seven Hebrew words used for praise that is found in the book of Psalms. And as we seek to understand and enhance our worship experience, I encourage you to join me. It's already led to some fruitful discussion this morning in our rooted prayer time, and I hope it's intrigued you to come tonight at 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall for our opening session of tonight's study. Also, a reminder to our youth, we have youth intensity tonight at 5:30 as well. I hope our youth will join me for tonight's time of gathering. This Wednesday, we have two choir practices. That's right. You heard me say two choir practices. Our handbell choir will start back up tonight at 5:30, this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Then our adult choir practice will follow at 6:30 p.m. So I hope you'll join for those. If you're interested in handbells and you're not one of our regular handbell players, talk to Gay this morning. She would love to have a few extra hands ringing our handbells, especially as we draw closer to the Advent season. So talk to Gay this morning. Or if you'd like to join our adult choir, talk to Gay for that as well. Also, you may have noticed upstairs in the fellowship hall this morning, or you may have seen some of those individuals, including myself, wearing these t-shirts yesterday at our Brunswick Stew. The FBC Elon t-shirts are in. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Liz Hill, but I don't see Liz today. So everybody tell Liz I said thank you to Liz, okay? Get the word out to her, but Liz did a great job in getting our First Baptist Church of Elon t-shirts together. They are in. If you pre-ordered those t-shirts and you have not picked them up today, they are upstairs in the fellowship hall in a bag that's written with your name on it. So if you need help getting up the stairs, or you need just someone to go pick them upstairs for you, please talk to one of us able-bodied individuals that can get up the stairs, and we will go gladly grab those t-shirts for you, and we look forward to seeing you wear those out in the community in the coming days and weeks. We also had a wonderful day yesterday, Brunswick Stew preparation. Lots of hands went in preparation for this wonderful day. I want to specifically identify two individuals, Kramer and Jimmy Hughes. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your hard work. Kramer's back there. Jimmy's, I think, helping the stewardship team this morning. They did a wonderful job in organizing our missions Brunswick Stew. Lots of hands went into preparing this and making it a success. And now you need to do your part. If you ordered Brunswick Stew, we need you to pick it up. There are is upstairs in the kitchen area, in the refrigerator, or the in the freezer. If you did not order some, you need to get some. So you can go pick some up today. Immediately following worship service, then we'll have Paula Harrison, right? Paula's going to be upstairs. Kramer's going to be upstairs in the fellowship hall. All you have to do is walk up the stairs or just drive up to the top of the parking lot, and they'll be more than happy to get you some Brunswick Stew today. It's $9 a quart, cheapest in the county, I promise you. And I at least taste tested at least two quarts yesterday as I was there helping prepare it. And it is wonderful. I taste tested both pots just to make sure both tested okay. And they get two thumbs up from my personal press. So please, 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 get you some Brunswick stew. Spread the word. We have more than enough to sell to friends and family. So let us know. You can contact the church this week, and we will get that Brunswick stew to you. Of course, this is our Missions Brunswick stew that helps support our missions projects throughout the year, helping out in our community, helping out across our state, and helping out across this world. As we talk about missions, today is our final Sunday for our paper products and toiletry collection for the rehabilitation services. Thank you for those who brought items. If you still have items to bring, make sure you get it to us early tomorrow morning here at the church. We're also collecting snack items and candy items for our cheer bags for the reading day for our college students here at Elon University. We'll be collecting those through the end of November. Those items that we specifically need are printed in your November newsletter. We are also continuing to collect items for the Elon Police Department, winter items that they need to hand out when they run into individuals in our community that need those. And also, you saw a new Christmas tree in the foyer today. We think, wow, we haven't even got to November yet. But we need to support the Salvation Army and the Salvation Army Angel Tree Ministry. We have adopted 10 angels again this year. Please stop by that table today if you would be interested in adopting one of those angels. Pick one of those angels off the tree. Take that home with you. But before you do, write your name on the clipboard for the angel that you took off the tree and bring those gift items back by early December so we can return those to Salvation Army. Lots of other things going on in the life of our church. A senior adult luncheon coming up in November on November 15th. Make sure you sign up for that. Many other things in your November newsletter. I've talked enough this morning. Let's sing and worship God this morning to the one who is holy, holy, holy.
Let's stand and let's worship together as we sing.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 34, reading verses 1 through 10 and verse 22. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Sometimes when we come to worship, we bring a lot of things with us. But the one thing that we're guaranteed is when we come to worship, he is here. And we can take refuge in him. And for that, we can give thanks this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a spiritual home, for the legacy of those who have gone before us and welcomed us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your church, for the legacy of your word and witness across this world. Holy Spirit, thank you for renewing your church in every age. Unify us and renew us in worship this day. We long to be true to you and your way. Reform us now. Make us courageous and steadfast and persevering and sharing your grace and good news in living your merciful, transforming love in the building of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Inspire us and defend us and send us out again, Holy One, for the honor and glory of your name alone. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is O for a Thousand Tongues. Let's stand and worship together.
reminded in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses as we continue to live out our faith life here on earth. But this year, our church has grieved the loss of brothers and sisters in Christ who have joined that great cloud of witnesses who look down upon us now, even on this day. Their legacy still lives on in our hearts and in our minds. Our memories of them still shape who we are today and will continue to do so until we too join them in that great group of saints who have gone before us. Today we remember them. O God of the saints, we give you that thanks for every saint who has worshipped you, whether in brush arbors or cathedrals, whether in wooden churches or crumbling cement meeting houses, where your name was lifted and adored, where your scriptures were studied, your people served. We give you thanks, O God, for centuries of hands in service, hands that were groomed, hands stained with grease or soil, young hands and hands marked with age, holy hands of every shade raised in praise, serving hands that cooked, hammered, or just held. We give you thanks, O God, for hard-working saints, whether hard-hatted or steel-booted, head-ragged or aproned, blue-collared or three-piece suited. They ministered on this earth, and they ministered on this earth to honor you. We give you thanks, O God, for saints in this season, for family and friends whose loved ones were taken from us too soon. Today we remember. Today, Father, we give you thanks. This morning, we lift up the names of our brothers and sisters in Christ from First Baptist Church of Elon who have passed away into your presence this year, Father. And this morning, we are lighting a candle to honor each of them just as they honored you as they walked this earth, shining the light of Christ in their life as they walked this earth until they gathered in his presence. The saints who have passed on this year. John Dawson. Matthew Robinson. Carolyn Barnett. Diana Ledbetter. James Ledbetter. Zeke Ferguson.
Barbara Askew. Ann Maynard. Peggy Truitt. John Dawson and Zeke Ferguson. Take a moment. Don't just look at the candles, but remember the names. Think about the faces. Think about the impact that they've had on your lives. In our lives, they're woven into the fabric here at First Baptist. They are the individuals who made us who we are and who we become, and they continue to have an impact on who we are. Many of us have family members and friends who have passed away over this past year as well. May one of these candles signify who they are as well. May they represent those family members, those friends, those loved ones. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. May we walk wisely in their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. We commit to continue their legacy of walking in the way. May new generations find us worthy to be called saints in your kingdom. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
Our heads for the offertory prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to come to this church this morning to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for those whose lives we remember today in a special way. May we honor their example by remembering you today and in our communion time. Your gifts to us are many, Lord, and as we bring our tithes and offerings to you today, please multiply these for the growth of your kingdom. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist. Thank you for joining us for worship on this special Sunday morning. I will be quite honest with you, this is a Sunday each year that I both look forward to and I do not look forward to at the same time. I feel as a pastor that it is an important Sunday, it is an essential Sunday for our church family, but it is also a Sunday that hurts. These brothers and sisters in Christ that are printed in your bulletin this morning are woven into the very fabric that has made our church who we are. Yet at the same time, as we remember these brothers and sisters in Christ who are no longer with us physically, the feelings of grief continue to swell up within me and within each family and within our church family. For centuries, once a year, the Christian church recognizes November 1st as the day we call All Saints' Day. This day has, over the decades, been overshadowed by the increasing popularity of All Hallows' Eve, also known as Halloween. Yet on either the last Sunday in October or the first Sunday in November, many Christian churches, as we do today, pause to lift up and recognize people significant to the life of their church and to their personal lives. We thank God for the life that they were given. We continue to give thanks for their presence and influence upon us. And we must not forget that. We continue to give thanks for their presence and influence upon us. However, it is a day filled with mixed emotions. Once again, our hearts are revisited by grief. It may be a grief fresh and only a few days old, or it may be pain we carry with us even after many long decades. Even so, we also feel hope in spite of grief. We hope in the promise of that great gathering of saints. We look forward to that great day when all of God's redeemed will be united together in endless days. Now, that mix of emotions is very common. Grief ebbs and flows. Grieving begins raw and harsh, but even in the thick of our loss, laughter and joy can appear unexpectedly. The great tide of grief gradually recedes over time, but then we hear a song, or we smell an odor, or a picture pops up on social media, and boom, that old pain of grief pierces once again. The memory may come with pain, but yet we also still cherish it. For in remembering their presence, in remembering that moment, they are suddenly with us for maybe just a second once more. And what that is, that's a glimmer of hope. That's a glimmer of that eternal hope that we are promised. And that's why the title of my sermon today is that in spite of grief, we hope. The 11th chapter of John tells the remarkable story of Jesus and his encounter with grief. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. Now, this is a passage that we are all probably very familiar with. I actually preached on it not too long ago. Phil calls me out on this every once in a while. He'll say, "Hey, David, you preached on that like 14 months ago." Phil, I preached on it not too long ago. The words will also be displayed on the screen behind me. This passage tells the remarkable story of Jesus' friend Lazarus. Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, are about the only people that we're told in Scripture who are identified specifically as Jesus' friends. Now, Jesus had the disciples who traveled along with him, and we know they were his confidants, his servants, his co-patriots in sharing the word of Christ. But Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were identified as Jesus' friends. Let's read John 11, 32 through 44. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus becomes mortally ill and dies. Despite being relatively nearby, Jesus refuses to travel to Bethany where the three siblings live. He does not show up until Lazarus is laid in the grave for 4 days. Jesus purposely delays coming because he knows what he is going to do. He's going to demonstrate the power of divine resurrection. He knows this. Jesus knows this. And yet, when Jesus is surrounded in the moment of intense grief, his emotions overwhelm him. Jesus arrives in Bethany. He connects with Martha and then with Mary. He sees their grief. He hears the sympathetic cries of the community surrounding the two sisters. The emotional wave of grief crashes over Jesus, our Savior, the Christ, and what does he do? He weeps. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And in the midst of grief, he weeps. If that does not give us permission in the midst of grief to cry, to weep, to feel the emotions that God gives us, I do not know what does. And there's no timetable on it. There's no timetable on it. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He knows that Lazarus will step out from his grave, but he still cries. Grief and loss fill him to the brim. In this exchange, we see both Jesus' divinity and his humanity. In his divinity, Jesus knows that death does not have the last word. As the divine Son of Man, Jesus intends to raise Lazarus. But at the same time, we see Jesus in his full humanity. He succumbs to grief. His heart is heavy, and he cries. Jesus stands before Lazarus' tomb. He's still under the grip of great emotion. He orders people to remove the stone from the front of the tomb. Lazarus has been in there for 4 days. By now, his body would have been decomposing. The tomb would have been filled with the stench of death. Even so, they roll the stone away.
Jesus called out to Lazarus. The crowd, anticipating the smell of death, but what stepped from the tomb was life, not death. The stone in front of Lazarus' tomb was much like the one that was stand before Jesus' tomb not too long after. The stone is the barrier between life and death. Jesus stood outside of Lazarus' tomb and orders that barrier to be removed. And then, under his power, he commands life to come out of the grave. In just a few short days, Jesus himself will be dead and buried within his own grave. A stone will be placed in front of his own tomb. That barrier between life and death and outs will be on the outside, and he will be in the inside, supposedly secured in place. But this time, instead of commanding the stone from the outside to be rolled away, he will be on the inside. The divine power of resurrection will command from the inside. In the darkness, in the domain of death, resurrection life will emerge. And what is that? That is hope. That's hope. In the midst of grief, in spite of grief, that's the hope. This knowledge is our hope. It's the hope on a day like this. In spite of grief, we hope. We hope because we know that in death, life merely changed. It's not ended. It's not over. It's not over. Pastor and author Henry Van Dyke wrote a parable about the transition into death. Death is not the end. It's a new beginning. He writes this: I'm standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the moving breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and the sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, "There, she is gone." Gone where? Gone from my sight? That is all. She is just as large and massed, whole and spar as she was when she left my side. And she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me. It's not in her. And just at that moment, when someone says, "There, she is gone," there are other eyes watching her coming and other voices ready to take up that glad shout saying, "Here she comes," and "There she is." And that is dying. On this Sunday, as we remember All Saints Day, we are fixed and mixed with emotions. In looking to the ones we have loved, we grieve. But in looking to our Savior, we hope. This day allows us to cherish the memories of our departed family and friends. We have lit these candles to remind us that the flame of their influence lives on inside of our hearts. But these candles also remind us of the resurrection. Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. In hope, we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And because of that, we walk in the light. We walk in the hope of the resurrection. We walk in the hope of eternal life. This morning, on a day where we remember, another reminder of the hope is the Lord's table and communion. Christ's sacrifice on the cross, the giving of his body and his blood, is an act that we are called to remember with hope.
This morning, as we remember the saints that have passed on, we too remember the one who gathered those saints together with him in eternity. As Jesus gathered with his disciples at the Last Supper, he was preparing them not only to remember the sacrifice that he was about to make, but for the ministry he was challenging them to take. He wanted them to be ready. The same should be true as we come to the table, as we observe communion. We should prepare ourselves through prayer and reflection. And only then, when we feel we are ready, should we then approach the table. It should not be rushed on us. It should not be forced upon us. Only when we are ready. So this morning, we want to provide the opportunity for communion this day. We're going to do communion a little bit differently than we've done before. And I know sometimes when we do things different, it makes us feel uncomfortable, and that's okay. It's okay to feel uncomfortable in worship. So today, for communion, our deacons are going to be paired off and located around the sanctuary. Each pair of deacons will have a plate of bread and a plate of juice. Our organist and our pianist are going to play music in the background. And when you feel ready, when you feel prepared, you're invited to approach one of those stations. I also will be having a station up front as well. And when you're ready, you approach one of those pairs or one of those stations or myself and partake in communion. After you do so, I encourage you to go back to your seat and then just listen to the music until everyone has taken, and then we'll sing a closing hymn. But today, it's not about being rushed. It's not about going pew by pew. It's not about passing a plate and taking it when that plate comes to you. It's not about having the prepackaged elements you pick up in the foyer. It's when you're ready. Now, if you would like the prepackaged elements, I have them up here, and you come to my station, I will have them ready for you. If you are limited in mobility a little bit, our deacons are aware of that, and if you just kind of raise your hand, the closest deacon station will bring your elements to you. But during this time, just be ready. Whenever you are ready, go and observe communion. The deacons will be serving the elements to you. They'll be taking the bread and placing it in your hand. They'll be taking the cup and giving it to you. But when you're ready, don't be rushed when you're ready. Let's pray. God of saints and sinners, we thank you that the communion table is a thin place in our lives. A place where heaven and earth collide as Christ calls us to feast with the saints. As we experience the retelling of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, through this holy sacrament, we confess that we also long to lay our grief and pain at your feet. May your gift of grace nourish our mourning souls and prepare us to continue the ministry of the saints. Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice of your body, we give you thanks this day. For the shedding of your blood, we give you thanks. And most importantly, we remember and we will never forget. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close in our time of singing? If you have a decision to make today, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing. Influenced by the saints, making a difference in this world, go and be a model for him and shine the light of Christ wherever you go.